We open our Bibles this evening to Psalm 25, a psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Verse 11 is the text for our examination and preparing ourselves for the table of the Lord. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, as you see above the psalm, this was a psalm written by David, the man after God's own heart. It is a psalm that is written later on in his life. It is the second of the seven penitential psalms. This is the mark of a true saint, that in sorrow he knows his sin. And sorrow for sin drives him to his God. And so may this text tonight help to prepare us to come next week to the table of our Lord. The theme of my sermon is great sin, abundant pardon. Great sin, abundant pardon. Notice in the first place the heartfelt confession. Notice, second of all, the earnest plea. And then thirdly, in our text, the wonderful basis. We read there, mine iniquity. Different words are used in the scripture to describe sin, or for the word sin. There's a Hebrew word that means missing the mark. Instead of aiming for the glory of God, completely turning around and aiming somewhere else, namely to sin. There's a second word that we use in the Lord's Prayer. It's the word debts. That means that as we continue to sin in our lives, the debts accumulate. And someone has to make a payment for that debt. Our Lord Jesus. And now the word that's used in our text, iniquity, is that means that which is bent, that which is twisted, that which is mutilated. And that word stands over against that which was straight, that which was harmonious, that which was in beautiful symmetry. Now it's been vandalized, it's been defaced, it displeases God. Think a moment when vandals come into a graveyard and they topple over and break to pieces the gravestones. Or think of those who go about in their extra time and they deface the walls of a new building or of some structure. Or think a moment of music. There is beautiful, harmonious music in symphonies, and then there is also that kind of sensual, discordant chords, defiant and rebellious kind of music that one hears all too often on one's radio. So that which is bent, that which is twisted, that it which is mutilated, that, beloved, is part of our inherited sin from our father Adam. All the gifts that God created in us for his use, now used in corruption. Used in sexuality so that instead of love from the heart, there's lust of the flesh. David's sin. He was a friend of God with beautiful psalms he wrote and sang as he was taking care of his sheep out there in the field. And yet when he was given power as a king, he took another man's wife for himself. What is vandalized, what is defaced, what displeases God is the sweet communion that we had once with God, created that way to be his coveted friends, defaced, mutilated by sin. That's not just the ungodliness of the world that we live in, but also now by men and women and children of God. And what do we read about that iniquity? We read, it is great. Why does David use that word to characterize his sin? That is, that word, great. Let's pause a moment. How often don't you and I better speak for myself, how often don't I at times think that I'm pretty good? That is, I'm pretty good compared to some other folks. And perhaps we think, my sin is so minor. My sins aren't as serious as someone else's sins that they're doing. Those defiant wicked in the world marching around with their banners, announcing some of the most polluted sexual acts possible. Or those idol worshipers, whether it be the Muslims or the Buddhists or the Hinduists or the animists. While I might just tell some little white lies or maybe engage in some gossip, but what is that compared to the person that breaks the seventh commandment? Or at least, I don't steal or murder. You ever have those thoughts? I'm really not so bad. Almost patting yourself on the back as the Pharisee would do. But all sin, the breaking of any of God's commandments, is a great sin. Why is it a great sin? It is a great sin, first of all, because of who God is. That is who we sin against. That's who we disobey. That's whose glory we deface. That's his commands that we disobey. Yes, listen to the psalmist from Psalm 51, from which we have quoted and sung already. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. What is so great about our sin is it violates the covenant, God's covenant. There's two parts in that covenant of God. First of all, what God has done for us, and then second of all, what God commands of us in thankfulness. That's our obligation. So our sin is great, first of all, because of who God is. Second of all, our sin is great because of who we are. Our sinful flesh, that old man of sin that remains with us as long as we are in this flesh, in this world. It's a great sin because we ought to know better, but knowing better, we still proceed in sin. It's a great sin because of who we are, because we have been chosen by God to be his sons and his daughters. It's a great sin because we have been taught by the Word of God. It is a great sin because God has done so much for us. He deserves our thanks and our praise. And then we deface his glory. We go contrarywise to his commandments as a redeemed people. I said this is a psalm of David written later in his life. Boys and girls, do you remember when Nathan the prophet came to David? We read of it in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Perhaps you want to read that later on for devotions this evening. God comes through Nathan. He says, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives, gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandments of the Lord to do this evil in his sight? On this preparatory Sunday, look at who God is. Look at how he has made us his people. Are you filled with shame and dread of the iniquity? It is great. Great sin because of who God is. Great sin because of who we are, his peculiar people. Great sin because of what God has all done for us. We could make a comparison here of what we often think of sin and how God sees sin. They make a comparison in my life. Sometimes I have a mild headache. They come, they go. And sometimes I have an intense migraine headache and I can't hardly stand up. Do you notice the difference? or the difference between having a mild case of the flu or having terminal cancer. Examine this week the greatness of our sins. It's not a little matter that, oh yeah, I once in a while do this or I do that. My thoughts, my words, my actions, the pride that creeps up in me, the lust of my flesh, immoral thoughts, my tongue that at times speaks evil, a fire bringing division in homes or in church. And those are only sins that we have committed, and then all the sins of omission, all those things that God commands us to do, and we leave them undone. How many times is there little concern for others and holding them up in our prayers? As many of us have already come in our groups for Bible study in the summer, and some of you I think are doing again tonight. How often do I say, I'll pray for you, and then during the week forget all about it? My sins of being selfish, self-centered, lack of concern for others or lack of concern for the church, and lack of love for God. And I want you to notice in our text, David says, mine iniquity, it is great. David is writing this psalm for the congregation, but he doesn't use the word our, but he says, mine, my sins. It's not that we are not concerned about the sins of our fellow brothers and sisters. In verse 22, he does write, redeem Israel, O God. Of course we're concerned about one another's sins. And therefore we go to them, don't we? We care about them from our hearts. And perhaps they say to us, well, that's my business. Take care of the beam in your own eye instead of looking at the splinter in my eye. None of your business. Of course, we care about one another also, but we begin with ourselves, don't we? That finger that points to someone else, notice all those fingers that are pointing back at self. Mine iniquity. And David, before Israel, is concerned and confesses his own terrible sin. He says, the sins of my youth. Present sins make him look back at his youth. Sins, perhaps, when he didn't know much better yet. And doesn't our sin now, as we look at it, cause us to look back at our whole past? Foolish things, sinful things that we have done. The present sins make us look back in horror at all those sins in our past life. We look back in horror and in humility. And in sincerity, we confess them. Mine iniquities. He offers that prayer now to the one whom he has offended, his God in heaven. He takes personal responsibility for him. He doesn't go around making excuses like Adam and Eve did in the garden. When God came to Adam and then to Eve, he says, what is this that thou hast done? And Adam makes the excuse, it's the woman whom thou gavest me. And when he comes to Eve, he says, it's that serpent that you created and allowed here in the world. And how often wouldn't we like to do that? Yes, I blew my stack, but now that wife made me angry. Or whatever excuses we might have. None of it. Heartfelt confession. mine iniquity, it is great. May God work that awareness in each of our hearts this week, so that we come next Sunday to the table of our Lord, realizing there is no hope, there is no salvation apart from Christ Jesus and His cross. He bled and died for our sins. And the life that I am called to live for Him, I cannot do it on my own, but I have to eat and I have to drink Christ Jesus. He's my only strength. Mine iniquity, it is great. A heartfelt confession. Great sin, but abundant pardon. Yes, look with me, second of all, at the earnest plea of David. Pardon thou mine iniquity. In your sins, don't despair. Don't come to God with a hopeless prayer. What is your attitude as you deal with your sins, sin so great? Do you think that there's no hope for pardon? Turn to God, God who is merciful and full of loving kindness. Pardon mine iniquity. Lord, we betrayed you. Lord, we have defamed the covenant relationship that thou hast established with us. Pardon mine iniquity. Judas was sorry for his sin. Remember, boys and girls, how he came there in the Garden of Gethsemane with the soldiers behind him to betray Jesus with a kiss. And Jesus said, "Do you betray me with a kiss?" But rather now than turning to his Savior and turning to God for forgiveness in hopelessness, he strung himself up. He hung himself. Over against that sinful illustration, there's a Simon Peter. Lord, if all others leave you, I will never leave or betray you. And three times he said, "I do not know the man," even with cursing and swearing. And as Jesus looked to him when the cock crew, he wept bitterly. Turn to God, for we have no hope but God's mercy. Seek the Lord out in this week and say to the Lord, Thee only have I sinned and done this great evil in thy sight. And how do you do it? With a contrite heart, meek, filled with humility, maybe not daring to look up like that publican who didn't dare to look up to heaven. And as the Old Testament saints, David cried out for God's forgiveness and pardoned as he brought the lamb or the oxen to be sacrificed at the temple, looking forward to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and his blood shed there. And that's the way you and I also make this earnest plea, pardon mine iniquity, looking back at what God has done in Christ Jesus for sinners like you and me. He gave his only begotten Son. Jesus willingly laid down his life to make a payment for our debts, to straighten out the way and the relationship with us, between God and us, by his sacrifice on the cross. Pardon mine iniquity. That word means dismiss it. Sweep that sin away in such a way that it is forgotten. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean that God forgets our sin? It's not the case that it leaves his mind, that because he is omniscient, he knows all things. But it means this, beloved: pardon mine iniquities in such a way that those sins will not be held against me in this life or in the life to come. Hold them not against me as if they never had occurred. Pardon. That's more, beloved, than don't punish me for it. It's really saying, Lord, do not disinherit me. Do not cut off my fellowship and my friendship with thee. Cast me not out from thy presence. For when we willfully walk in sin, we will not experience God's blessing, God's presence, God's favor with us. In the way of our sin, we're going to experience his wrath. Lord, pardon mine iniquity. Cast me not away from thy presence. But rather, Lord, receive me here in thy courts. Don't take away my standing before thee. Do not exile me, but keep me in thy presence. Because without God's presence, without God's favor, I might as well be dead. I'd rather be dead. Moses said that in his life. If the Lord doesn't go with me, I don't want to move forward. I don't want to go anywhere. Joshua says the same thing. Joshua was told that the angel of the Lord is going to go for him. He says, no. I need thee to go before me. Pardon. Presidents, usually just before they leave office, give pardons to various individuals. I'm thinking of a president that pardoned a spy who leaked vital secrets to the enemy for some 40 years. He only served a couple years, and then he was pardoned. He didn't deserve it. There was really no basis for pardoning him except that the president could do it. And yes, there was a great outcry at that time. But beloved, here, God pardons. And we don't deserve it. But he pardons because there is a very strong basis for pardoning our sins. And that is his eternal love and his eternal decision to save us from our sins, to show his grace in the way of sin. You and I know something that Adam and Eve could never know before they fell into sin: that the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and full of compassion. Yes, the basis is Jesus Christ. The basis for God pardoning your and my sins is Christ's substitutionary atonement. It is his propitiation. That word means that he took God's wrath. In June, a synod met, and they were going to define what heresy was. There are those who deny that there is a penal substitutionary atonement in Christ Jesus' death on the cross. Sad to say that while that denomination said that is a distorted view, they refused to say that it was heresy. Oh, beloved, the truth of God's word is, why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Did not Jesus ask his Father there when he was with his disciples in the garden, "If there be any other way, Lord, take this away from me"? There is no other way. Our iniquity is a debt, an aiming in the wrong direction, a breaking of a harmonious relationship, and that could only be reestablished by Jesus Christ paying the penalty for our sins and bringing the perfect righteousness to his Father in our place as our head. Beloved, notice with me that this is a heartfelt request. Did you notice in this psalm, if you have your Bible still open, look at some of these verses at the strong language. Oh, verse 1, "Oh, Jehovah." That's God's covenant name, the I Am That I Am. That is the eternal God of our salvation, who never changes his attitude toward us, and therefore David dares to pray. How often that word, "oh," is before the word "Lord" or "Jehovah" or "God." It indicates sincerity, earnestness. "Oh, Jehovah." Verse 1, "unto thee, oh, Jehovah." Verse 2, "Oh, my God, I trust in thee." Verse 4, "show me thy ways, oh, Lord." Verse 6, "remember, oh, Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness." Verse 7, "remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Jehovah, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity." Let us this week learn to be like the psalmist, waiting, seeking fellowship with our God, pouring out our prayers, our pleas for forgiveness, our pleas for deliverance from the power of sin, our plea for fellowship with him. It is not only a heartfelt request, but beloved, it is a daring request. No doubt in David's mind as he pens this verse. You and I come to Jehovah our God, the one whom we have offended, the one whose covenant we have broken, whose fellowship we violated with our disobedience and our rebellion. It's difficult, isn't it? Isn't it difficult, boys and girls, for you to go to your parents when you've done something wrong and say, "Dad, Mom, yes, I did this"? Or isn't it difficult? I think of some high school students from a Christian school that after the banquet went out and defaced some property. And the next morning, the parents have the children go to the authorities and admit, "I did this." And beloved, that's exactly our position as we come in our prayer before our God. "Mine iniquity, it is great. Pardon thou mine iniquity." Coming to our God, who was pleased to choose you and me to be his children. Coming to God who has united us to his Son, Jesus Christ. Coming to the one who gives us his word and his spirit to lead and to guide us in our life. And we squandered it. We defaced it. We made such an awful, discordant noise when he created us to sing his praises. And we ask him to act as if it never took place. Forgive us. Deliver us. And give us close fellowship again with thyself. How do we dare? Notice with me, beloved, then thirdly, the wonderful basis of this plea. How does he begin this verse? He does not say, for my sake, because I deserve it. He says, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Not that I deserve it, not that I have it coming to me, not because we're such wonderful people, not even for my own benefit. Not, well, Lord, I didn't do everything perfectly, but remember my good things. For thy name's sake, O Jehovah, pardon mine iniquity. Those are the same words that Moses used when God threatened to wipe out Israel, because even while he was giving the law up there on Mount Sinai, the people were dancing around a golden calf. And Moses pleads, not because the people are many, not because they're so worthwhile or wonderful folks, but Lord, for thy name's sake, what will the nation say if thou takest thy people out here and destroys them completely? For thy name's sake. Because God is a covenant God who never breaks his covenant. He who established that covenant, he maintains that covenant, and he will perfect that covenant in the new heavens and the new earth. For God's sake, because his mercies are new every morning. And that's why Jeremiah says in Lamentations chapter 3, therefore we're not consumed, because thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. For thy name's sake, because God is a God of truth. And his truth is that he will pardon his people over and over and over again. In the way of their repentance and sorrow for the sin, he forgives us. So as David stood there before the tabernacle with its sacrifices made there, its burnt offerings and its sin offerings, the blood that was shed there for remission of sins, we utter this confession tonight, looking back to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lamb of God was slain and his blood poured out for a complete remission of all of our sins. We can make this earnest plea for pardon on this wonderful basis with no doubt. We look at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his flesh broken, his blood poured out on the cross. The Son of God nailed on the cross in our place to take away our sins, to pardon them, to dismiss them. Do you see why that word fits so well here? Pardon mine iniquity, that is, dismiss it. And so God took your and my sins, dismissed it from us, and laid it there on His Son. All of His life while He was on earth, and especially there in those dark hours on the cross. And Jesus was raised from the dead. And God raised Him from the dead because He carried out exactly what His Father called Him to do. He carried each and every sin of each of His people completely and paid for them. Not one sin left over for you and me to be punished for. Jesus took the punishment, dismissed from us, placed on His Son. And that's how you and I can know we are justified. Jesus, as a hymn says, Jesus paid it all. So this week, think of this theme. Great sin, but abundant pardon. My sins are many, but God's grace is greater. Confess your sins with tears in your eye. Against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned and done this great evil in Thy sight. Plead for His pardon. Heartfelt, daring. Pardon me because Jesus is my Savior and I love and I serve Him. The basis, the mercy, and the truth of our God. Christ, crucified body, come. Come then next week. Eager to sit down at the table of Jesus Christ as He serves us Himself. Amen. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we too, with David and with the whole congregation, we may make this heartfelt confession. Mine iniquity, it is great. And we may make this earnest plea, pardon, dismiss all of my sin. All on the basis that Thy name will be glorified in the salvation of Thy people. Yes, Father, it is in the way of our sin that Thy glory is exalted, saving wretched sinners like us. We thank Thee for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to tell it to our children. Help us to share it to our neighbors. Amen.